Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 12. This, to me, is where it gets interesting. This is where we're going to bring the whole of Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, mystery, magical religions, the New Age movement. We're going to bring all of that in because, in fact, let me show you the picture that I put on my little notes here. This is the front of Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, and you can find this on Google Images or whatever. And remember that Masons speak in the language of symbols, and unless you have the key, like the interpretation of those symbols, the correct interpretation of those symbols, you'll never know what this language is. Just think of it this way. Think of what God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 28. He told them, he said, if you break all my laws, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send a nation to you from afar, from the north country. They're going to speak a language you don't understand. Symbols are a language that most people don't understand. Most Masons don't understand it. They're being told false ideas. If you have the Bible is the key to interpreting these symbols. Again, this is on the front of Morals and Dogma, which is sort of the handbook of Freemasonry. You have the number 33. Why is that number there? You have the double-headed eagle. And I won't go into all of these. Ordo ab caeo, which means order comes out of the caeo, which is the pit, the abyss, the bottomless pit. You have the eagle's wings. And then underneath the eagle's wings, you have 33 stars under here. And I want you to, that's what we're going to be looking at today in Revelation 12. We've gotten to this point where in verse 4 of Revelation 12, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. That's what we're going to be dealing with right here. The dragon with his tail. We talked about the power of the tail. These scorpions have sting in their tails and so on. But we have the dragon taking 33%, a third of the stars. That's what's on here, is these stars. He's taking a third of the stars of heaven, 33% of the stars, and casting them down to the earth. Now, the New Age movement is all about the idea that one day, as part of ushering in a New Age, the ascended masters, the aliens, this super race is going to float gently down to the earth in their chariots. They're going to come down. They're going to bring enlightenment to mankind. We're going to enter into a new age of peace and harmony and the age of Aquarius and all of this stuff. That's what the whole New Age movement is about. Marilyn Ferguson's Aquarian Conspiracy is all about these angels falling to the earth. That's what the whole conspiracy is. And remember, we won't get into it this week, but I've got it in my mind to deal with it next week. I made some notes after I was done with this. And we're going to talk about the types in the Bible of the angels coming down from heaven and then rising up from the pit, like you see in Revelation 9, as it was in the days of Noah. Go study that. But anyway, the whole idea of the New Age movement is that there's going to be this happening, an event horizon, the event or whatever it is, there's going to be an invasion. There's going to be an alien invasion on the earth, and they're going to be good for us. They're going to help us, bring us to a new age of peace and enlightenment. But that's these stars falling. They are the fallen ones. The term falling angels or fallen angels, right here. This is where they are falling. They're going to be cast out of the heavenly realm to the earth. And I believe when that happens, they are going to mingle themselves with the seed of men, turning men into half gods, half human. And so this is kind of, I want you to kind of keep this in mind. This is what all Freemasonry is about. It's about the brotherhood of man. All mankind, the brotherhood of all mankind. How do men become brothers? They have the same father. Ye are of your father, the devil. But the Freemasonry is about making good men better. That's what their slogan is. And in their secret idea, making good men better means turning them into gods by stinging them with poison. That's what that's all about. So let me just kind of go through the scriptures. And here's, in keeping with this number, we have a number here. We have a third, which is 33%. I'm going to go back to a verse. I was doing my study last night, and I remembered this thing in 1 Kings 20. I've mentioned this before. The Bible's actually telling you what this number 33 represents. In 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. So we have a king, and on this logo here, we have a crown that denotes a king. There is a king in Revelation 9 who is the king of the bottomless pit. He's the king of chaos. Okay? If there is not a Hollywood movie called The King of Chaos, I guarantee you there's going to be sometime, somehow. But anyway, he's the king of Syria, gathered all his host together. Host is an angel word. It's a star word. The host of heaven. So he gathered all his host together. So there's a gathering. His tail takes and swoops them all out. There were 32 kings with him. So we have him and the 32, which is 33. And then it says, and horses and chariots. There's another spiritual realm idea, chariots and horses. We know from Zechariah, we see the four horses. We see the red, the black, the pale, and the I think it's the white one. We see those four horses, and they're hooked to chariots. When Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, there was a chariot of fire separated him from Elisha. And so this idea of horses and chariots denotes angels. And I'm going to read a verse to you that explains that. We're actually, if you go watch the Watchmen video we did called UFOs, Chariots of the Beast, you'll get this idea. That's what I think the Bible's telling us that UFOs represent, and what they look like. And I'll show you the verse here in a little bit. But let's take this idea in relation to the 33 being cast to the earth, these stars falling, and what they represent. These are angels. These are gods. These are kings that are to come down and rule over mankind. And go back and study this king and horses and chariots. That's what we're going to do today. And you'll see how it's all connected. Exodus chapter 14, verse 7. He took 600 chosen chariots. There's a number for you. 600. Who did this? This is Exodus 14, so we know that it's Pharaoh who does this. Pharaoh takes 600 chariots. That is part of the number of the beast in Revelation chapter 13. 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. So we have Pharaoh and we have all of his captains or all of his host that are going with him. They're out to destroy the Israelites. Exodus 14:28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen and all the host. There's that word again, host. Study host. Okay? I don't know why I didn't, but study the word host in the Bible. All the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. And remember, the sea represents the deep, the pit. And here's God taking Pharaoh, the beast of the bottomless pit, and all of his angels and covering them up and locking them down in a grave, in a watery grave. So it represents, the sea represents the barrier between our world and the underworld. And then in Exodus 15:4. The Bible says, Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also drowned in the Red Sea. What? And we made mention of this. What color is fire? It's red. All right? So you see this beautiful picture here of how God, even though these are cast down to the earth, and everybody's going, oh, no, this is bad. God's going, no, I got this. I know what I'm doing. Okay? I'm doing this for a reason. Remember, the Israelite, God opened the Red Sea. The Israelites are walking through. Well, now there's a passageway for Pharaoh to fall right into there. And so Pharaoh is pursuing after the Israelites in that passageway that God made. And then what happens? All of a sudden, God closes it back in on them. So even when this happens, God's got it. He's got a victory coming, all right? Something to keep in mind when you feel like the devil's chasing after you, okay? I hate to use it this way, but it just, God's using you for bait, okay? I mean, just think about it, and that's okay, you know? God's just using you for bait. He's taking you through the Red Sea, and he knows Pharaoh, because Pharaoh's a beast, and he's just going to follow you, not give heed to what could happen. He's going to follow you. And what God uses to save you, he uses to destroy him. Think of the flood. What God used to save Noah and his family, which was the water, God used to destroy his enemies. Now think of the cross. What God used to save you, God also used that same thing to destroy all of his enemies. Beautiful. I love it. Joshua chapter 17, verse 16. There's a couple verses out of here in Joshua 17. The children of Joseph said, "The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron." This is the iron kingdom of Daniel chapter 2. Remember, the kingdom's going to come from a far country, from the north. Some of them are going to rise up from the depths. Some of them are going to come down from the sky. And these have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Now you look at verse 18. "But the mountain shall be thine," and a mountain represents a kingdom, dominion. "For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive," watch this now, "thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." Now listen, I like this. I like this a lot. Because heaven is the land of promise. It's the land that you and I were promised that we could go to. Currently, it's inhabited by angels. A third of them are bad, very bad. But they're getting to live up there in my mansion. How dare they? So you know what God... And if you go back to Deuteronomy 7, you'll see that God specifically mentions the seven nations that he's going to drive out before them. How many heads does this dragon have? Seven heads. So the seven nations that were in the land of Canaan represent the dragon, his seven heads, and a third of his host, that God is going to use Michael and his angels. That's down in verse 7. God is going to use Michael and his angels to cast them out, to fight the war in heaven. I have a little theory on this. I can't really put it all together yet, but I'm thinking. All right, I'm always thinking. And the reason why, when I think these things, I don't just immediately just shout it and tell everybody. Unless, of course, it is. I tell people, this is a theory. Help me search the scriptures. Because if I think these things and they're not in the Bible, then they're not right. I don't go looking elsewhere for them. If they're not here, they don't exist. And so I have this little idea about this war, and I'm going to keep searching the scriptures for it until I get clarity and understanding from the Word of God. But anyway, God said, "For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." Part of my theory is based upon this verse, okay? Maybe you can figure it out. But I'm just, you know, I like to see the possibilities that are in the Bible. So anyway, here we have a picture of Revelation chapter 12. Here's the seven nations represented by the seven heads of the dragon and the third of the stars. And God cast them out. So now we can move in there, just like Israel did in the Old Testament. We get to move in up there in their place, in their habitation, and live in that land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua chapter 4. Here is somebody else that had chariots of iron. The numbers mean something. Back in Exodus, the number 600, you can kind of get an idea of what that is. I think it's in relation to the mark of the beast. The Iron Kingdom brings in the mark of the beast. But then we have in Judges chapter 4, we have Sisera, who he's a type of the beast, type of the Antichrist, in that he receives a wound in his head. Okay, the place of the skull is what that represents. Anytime you see a skull, like the Skull and Bone Society, that is a picture of the beast whose deadly wound is going to be healed. His skull is going to come back to life. Judges 4:3, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. In 20 years, he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. 20 years. I made mention of this in the Pastor Mike Online yesterday. Anytime you see the number 2 or 20 or 200 or 2,000, 20,000, whatever, 2 million, anytime you see that, you're looking at the age of, from the time of Christ to the time of Christ's second coming, 2,000 years, 2 days. It's the time of the Gentiles. And I illustrated this in the Pastor Mike Online, but let me run through this very quickly so you understand. Jesus said on the third day he'll revive them, okay? So 2 days have to pass. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So we have 2,000 years of the church age. In the Old Testament, when Joshua was going to pass over the River Jordan to go into the Promised Land, God said, put the Ark of the Covenant in the front. Let the Ark of the Covenant pass, and then you follow 2,000, I think it was cubits, 2,000 cubits behind the Ark of the Covenant. Why did God do that? Because it was to show, it's a prophecy. Here comes God's mercy. This is the cross, Jesus Christ, the blood of atonement. It goes through. Christ went in first. And then 2,000 later, here comes his people. See that? So here we have Sisera, who has 900 chariots of iron. You know what the number 9 means? It's the birthing of a baby. Sarah was 90 when she gave birth to the child of promise. A woman carries a baby 9 months. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. Look at fruit bearing in the Bible, things that bear fruit. Not corrupt fruit, but incorrupt fruit. So that's what that is. It's the 900 chariots represent the birth of a new world order. 20 years, he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Israel, literal Israel, the Jews, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 tribes, they are under the oppression right now for 2,000 years, 2 days. God is going to relieve them from that oppression one of these days. So he says in verse 7 of Judges chapter 4, I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude. Who kicks the devils out of heaven? God does. God's doing it for a reason. So God says, I'm going to draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera. Remember, a river is always a barrier between one world and the next. So we have them crossing the River Jordan, the Red Sea, the sea itself, the River Euphrates. The Greeks called it Styx, S-T-Y-X, the river that separates our world from the underworld. That's why they used to put a coin in the hands of dead people, was to pay the ferryman to take the boat to the other side. That was just their myth that they had. But he said, I will deliver them into thine hand. And in verse 13, the Bible says, and Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. Exactly the way God said it was going to happen. So the 900 chariots of Sisera represent the iron kingdom that is cast out of heaven and is being cast to the earth. And God is going to conquer them down there. He's going to destroy them while they're cast down to the earth. So just kind of think about that. We have Absalom in 2 Samuel 15, who
prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him.
What's Pentecost based on? The number 50. What's Jubilee year based on? The number 50. How many sons of the prophets were watching Elijah taken up into heaven by a whirlwind? 50. What was the day of, we mentioned the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost is poured out 50 days after Passover. So, and it all represents what you see, I believe, in Revelation 9, the fifth trumpet sounding. So here we have Absalom, and he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. 50 men to run before him. I think the 50 men running before Absalom, there's several representations, but one, remember, there are people right now, Marilyn Ferguson talked about it, there are people right now who are preparing the way for the Antichrist. He's coming, folks. He is coming. Then we have Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. This is 1 Kings 1:5, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Remember, in Revelation 9, that's what these devils look like, these angels that were cast into prison. This is what they look like. They look like they have the sound and the appearance of horses and chariots. So all of this, I think, links together. 2 Kings 6:15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, here is this army cast down to the earth, and they're going to compass the world, try to take over the world. And here is the servant of Elisha who sees all this and goes, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. They're going to kill us all. Elisha prayed in verse 17 and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And you know what Elisha said to him? Don't worry. They that are for us are more than they that are against us. And it's simple math. Two-thirds is always bigger than one-third. Always. I love this. I absolutely love this. And I want you to notice he mentioned chariots of fire. Because I am I'm going through the Watchman broadcast. We got held up because of the fire that we had in our studio. This is actually the first recording that I've done since we had that fire about 2 weeks ago. And but I'm going to show you from the scriptures what I see. What I see is that I believe that you and I, believers in the Word of God, we're going to be taken up into heaven. We're going to be translated. No doubt in my mind about it. But I think that that time is a time of fire. It is a fiery trial that is going to try us. And notice here the chariots of fire. What was it that came and separated Elijah from Elisha? Chariot of fire. There is a fiery trial coming. I believe it with all my heart. Okay? And I believe that God is going to refine us in that fire as silver. I think he's going to take us up, and he's going to save the 12 tribes of Israel at that time. All right? It's just what I think. But anyway, 2 Kings 23:11. He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering into the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech. That's got Molech's name in it. Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, and which was in the suburbs, and burn, watch this, the chariots of the sun with fire. Chariots of the sun. That's UFOs, okay? The first time I read this, I'm going, chariots of the sun. And even though probably these were like iron or brass chariots, they were probably decorated somehow, some way with the solar disk or the solar deity, literally being a type or a picture of these chariots of the sun. What is the sun that rules over us? It is a star. What are these heavenly beings out here. They're stars. God's going to cast them to the earth. Burn the chariots of the sun with fire. That's a fiery trial, I think, that's coming. Now, Psalm 20, verse 7. Here's what's going to happen. The newage is telling everybody, when these beings come, we need to trust them. Because they're going to bring us, they're going to change us, we're going to evolve by them, and we're going to be supermen, where all of our problems are going to go away. God told us not to trust in them. So he said in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I just want you to hear me out, because I really think some things are going to happen before we leave. And I think that there are some people that we know that go to church or call themselves Christian in some way. I think that they are going to trust in the chariots. That's what I think. And God is going to separate the sheep from the goats at that time. And remember who Baphomet looks like. And the sheep, I believe, are the ones who know his voice and remember his name. And I believe this is why there's such a controversy over the name. You know what the name is? The Lord. That's what it says in this Bible. You either trust this Bible or you don't. So I'm going to ask you the question. Who's Yahweh? Who is that? Well, Pastor, that's the Hebrew name for, really? Can you show me that? I mean, proof positive. Can you show me that in writing? What Yahweh, or that's the real pronunciation of his name or whatever. I'm of the firm opinion that this Bible got it right. And that his name is the Lord. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. The Tetragrammaton, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, and actually it should have been. No. I have authority to say that. I have absolute divine authority, final authority to say that God's name is the Lord. Oh, you're so arrogant. No. In the New Testament, written in Greek, in every occurrence where the New Testament writers, even Jesus himself, when he was quoted, when they quoted an Old Testament passage, where the Yod, He, Va, He was written, the New Testament writers, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, the Lord. I have no permission to go beyond that scope. Zero. I don't have a right to. Neither do you. Just telling you what the Bible says, okay? If you're going to argue with me, you better be prepared to bring about 10, 15 verses with you. Okay? Because that's all I believe is what's in this book. Anyway, there's going to come a time, I believe, when these chariots are going to come down. It's actually going to be, they got kicked out. Okay? My dad and my father-in-law both were in the rental business. They were renting houses, trailers, you know, for people to live in. And it dawned on me one day, who are these people moving into my dad's trailer? They were probably people that got kicked out of the last one. Okay? You know, anyway. These chariots, these beings, when they come down, they're going to come down and look all benevolent, like, we didn't do anything. Okay? We didn't do anything wrong. They got kicked out of heaven. And God is telling his people, "Don't. When you see that, don't trust it. Don't trust them. Don't lean into them. They're lying through their teeth. Trust in the name of the Lord. Remember that one. Because it's going to be important, people." Anyway, then Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. So you kind of see, now that's the connection that I made. When I read this verse, and then it dawned on me, that's what these UFOs are. They are chariots, cars, vehicles. That's what the word chariot means. They are the vehicles of God. When God moves, you see a picture of it in Ezekiel 1. When God moves, the the four cherubs with wheels take him wherever he wants to go. Isn't that neat? So you have the four Levite priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. That's a picture of the heavenly realm. And this is how God, when he comes riding in on his throne, the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, it's on a platform, the firmament, and these four chariots with wheels are carting God around. That's beautiful. So that's why Eric Von Daniken wrote Chariots of the Gods, because he was reading Ezekiel 1, and he said, I believe that these chariots are the UFO aliens that have come to invade planet. They've been here before. They're going to come again. That's what Eric Von Daniken said. So a third of them, God kicks a third of the cars out of heaven. Get out of the garage. Okay? And so God kicks them out. Now we have a place to park. Okay? Don't you love that? Joel chapter 2. This is Joel's army. Todd Bentley's part of this. Et al, which means and al. Joel chapter 2, verse 3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them except us. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and his horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like that is how Kenneth Arnold, the first guy who coined the phrase flying saucer, he's flying around Mount Rainier in Washington in his plane, and he sees these saucer-shaped discs. And he said they was just like a stone skipping across the top of the water. Look at that. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains, they shall leap like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. That's it right there. Nahum chapter 2, verse 3. The shield of his mighty men is made red. Red shield. That's what the name Rothschild means. Red shield. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. My dad, way back in the day, he was part of that baby boom generation that loved to mess with cars. All they did. My dad used to, back in the day, he was like an amateur drag racer. Won a couple trophies. But he knew how to hot rod them cars up. And he had an old car that he had designed with these flames coming out the side of it. Okay? Back in the day, man. Okay? But anyway, the chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. Study the word preparation. Okay? It's associated with the number 6, by the way. And the fir tree shall be terribly shaken. The chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. That's what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1. That's what John heard. There was lightnings and thunder and voices associated with these cherubs. Some have said, well, that describes now. We got cars in the streets and running fast. And I think it's more than that. I think they shall seem like torches and they shall run like the lightnings. I think it's literal. Boom. Just like that. They're from one place to the other. And then Haggai 2:22, God said, I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will so think of the dragon, seven heads, and all of his devils. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. These angels are all sons of God. Two-thirds of the angels take a sword and cast down the other third. And I think this is absolutely relevant to this. So, that's just, I was having fun doing this last night. I just wanted to do this study on chariots. That's not an exhaustive study. Go do your own study. Look at stories in the Bible where horses and chariots and things like that were used in the Scripture. You'll get light and understanding from it. You'll see the armies of God versus the armies of the devil.
And then probably next week, we're going to talk about things. This idea of as above, so below. Let me do this, okay? As above, so below. Because that's where, remember, in Revelation 9, they're coming up from the pit. In Revelation 12, they're coming down from the heavens. They're falling down, all right? So I'm going to maybe cover that next week. We'll go through the scriptures. Maybe you can kind of do an advanced study of that and just look at things that are falling down, water falling, rain, hail, storms that come, things that rise up out of the deep. Study those things in the scriptures, and that's kind of where we'll go next week, all right? Good to be with you today. Good to be back here. It really is, even though you can't see this, but there's no ceiling above me, all right? There's lights. There's no, the ceiling that used to be, we have to redo that. Still haven't got that part done yet, but, you know, everything still looks good, and here is Adeline's snowman survived. So anyway, God bless you. It's good to be with you again. We will see you the next time. Bye-bye.